From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Faithful and Useful. The text is Psalm 101, verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. If David spoke thus, we may be sure that the son of David will be of the same mind. Jesus looks out for faithful men, and he fixes his eyes upon them, to observe them, to bring them forward, to encourage them, and to reward them. Let no true-hearted man think that he is overlooked. The king himself has his eye upon him. There are two results of this royal notice. First, we read, that they may dwell with me. Jesus brings the faithful into his house. He sets them in his palace. He makes them his companions. He delights in their society. We must be true to our Lord, and he will then manifest himself to us. When our faithfulness costs us most, it will be best rewarded. The more furiously men reject, the more joyfully will our Lord receive us. Next, he says of the sincere man, he shall serve me. Jesus will use for his own glory those who scorn the tricks of policy and are faithful to himself, his word, and his cross. These shall be in his royal retinue, the honored servants of his majesty. Communion and usefulness are the wages of faithfulness. Lord, make me faithful, that I may dwell with thee and serve thee.
Thank you.
these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message called The Bible, Our Most Precious Treasure. As the Apostle Paul opened chapter 3 of Romans, he asked a question, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision?" Verse 2 begins the answer, as Paul declared, "Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." What were those oracles? They were the entirety of the Old Testament Scriptures. An oracle is an utterance, and in this case, it is God's utterance to make known to all men what is His divine will. In other words, the Bible, and the Bible alone, is God's written revelation. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, the Bible is authoritative. Indeed, it is the highest authority. For in it, God speaks to mankind and declares His requirements for entrance into heaven. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "The Bible, our most precious treasure."
Here's the teaching of the New Testament and the Old Testament, that what is written is what God has spoken. This is one of the great texts, or should I say series of texts of Scripture, that go to show you the nature of the Bible's view of itself. This is the written Word of God. The written Word of God is the oracle that comes from the mouth, the utterance that comes directly from the mouth of God. That's what is written. Now, time will only allow me to touch what all that actually means in doctrinal terms. First, the Bible is a divine revelation. That is of the nature of an oracle. It is a divine revelation with this uniqueness about it, that whereas all the other so-called gods and their devotees professed to give a divine revelation, it was just a pretense. It was a lie. This is the actual utterance of God. Now let that sink in. Take that Bible in your hand. And I'm not getting into the whole issue of translation. It is not difficult to prove that translation is of God. I don't say every translation is of God, mark you. But translating the Scriptures is not something invented by man. It is something necessitated by God Himself. And it is according to His purpose. So don't let any half-educated idiot, for that's all they are, come and tell you because you can't read Hebrew and Greek, you can't have the actual inspired Word of God in your hand. That has the hiss of the serpent about it. You take that Bible and remember, this is the very utterance of God. This is a divine revelation. It is therefore an inspired revelation. The word inspired means, in English, that which has breath put into it. Literally. The word inspired in the New Testament, all Scripture is inspired of God, is the very same. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is breathed by God. That's why we read that these are living oracles. They are the oracles of God. But did not Moses write the Pentateuch? First five books of the Bible? Yes, he did. Did not Paul and Peter and James and John all write parts of our New Testament? Yes, they did. I don't want to oversimplify this, and some scholars deny my allusion here, but didn't originate with me, obviously, but I'm right and they're wrong. If I could get all these musicians back up here and get them to play the tune Crimond, the 23rd Psalm, the piano would play that tune. The horns could play the same tune. The trombones, the bass trombones, the violins, the clarinets, whatever, they could all play it. You would recognize the same tune. And if I had had the good fortune to have been able to compose the tune Crimond, I would have been glad to take the credit, one of the most beautiful of all the psalm tunes. And you would have seen my handiwork through it all. But each instrument would have its own unique sound. Paul writes as only Paul writes. But what causes the sound is the breath of God. My illustration would be even greater if it were Paul Overly playing the horn, Paul Overly playing the trombone, Paul Overly playing, is that a cornet, a trumpet? May the Lord deliver you. Anyway, Paul Overly, you see, what if it were Paul breathing into each instrument, that's what we have with these writers of the New Testament and the Old Testament, the same breath, using different instruments. No prophecy, Peter tells us, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is on the part of the prophets who wrote the Scriptures. There's no private origination. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's inspiration. Inspiration means the breath of God is there. Does that not conjure up in your mind what we read of right at the beginning of the creation, that God made man of the dust of the earth and breathed into him and he became a living soul? Because of the breath of God, the dust of the earth became a living person. Because of the breath of God, these words of human vocabulary became the living Word of God. And this is what is unique about the Bible. This is the only book in the history of the world that is a living book. It is living. Inspiration does not belong only to the original manuscripts of Scripture. Inspiration is a quality of life that belongs to Scripture, even in translation. You take this book and let it loose, and what power it manifests, what effects it causes. Why? Because there's life in this book. It can be laughed at, denied, scorned, burned. It can be banned. But at the end of the day, here is a living word that has the life of God within it. Psalm 19 will tell you, it converts the soul. There's not another book in the world can do that. It converts the soul. I have friends, more than one, believe it or not. But I have friends who were brought up in darkness, reared in superstition and ignorance. They knew absolutely nothing of God's way of salvation. Some drifting into atheism. And they got this book and they just started to read. And this book converted them to Christ without a preacher in sight or a church service that they'd ever entered. That's the power of this book. This is a divine revelation. It's an inspired revelation. It is an authoritative revelation. It is the oracle of God. If any man speaks, and this is something for me to take as a preacher, I have opinions on many things. But as I said this morning, I am not employed by God to make people understand how wide is my reading, how deep is my comprehension of this subject, that subject, and the other subject. My job is to come and speak as the oracles of God. There was a time when that was true in the Protestant pulpit. There's a time when the Protestant pulpit announced the Word of God. It wasn't there some pussy-footing liberal to attack God's Word or to snidely make remarks that would be detrimental to God's Word. The Protestant pulpit once was the place where the Word of God was preached as it is the very Word of God, where the people were not treated to the follies and fallacies and the perversions of the mind of man, but they were given the exposition of the pure Word of God. And as long as the Christian pulpit is like that, it will be strong. When it declines from that, it is in apostasy. And what worries me is that in our own churches, I'm talking about evangelical or fundamental churches, and even some that say they are Reformed, and I am all of those. Reformed, evangelical, and fundamental. Makes me a sort of a rare brute, but nonetheless it's true. In most of these places, what is being preached is not the mighty truth of that revelation. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. And some of you who are leaving this place, I hope you will never forget this. If you attend church where the person and work, the offices and accomplishments, the glories and greatness of Jesus Christ are not preached, then go in God's name and get another church. Paul says, if you are not hearing the preaching of the gospel of a free justification by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ received by faith alone, then you are not hearing the gospel at all. The man might stand up and sing, there's power in the blood. He might get up and say, come to Jesus and you'll have your sins washed away. And I rejoice that he's got that much truth. But men and women, we need to get back to the pure and entire exposition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the authority of Scripture. If God were to stand in our midst tonight in the visible person of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, do this or don't do that, would you have the unbelief, the temerity, the downright folly to say, I refuse to listen? Would you? If you're saved, I don't think you would. Yet we take this Bible. It is the very utterance of God. And it commands. And you turn away as if you had never heard. There's authority here. Dr. Bob Jr., before he died, well, obviously before he died, he said this. He believes it even more now, but he can't say it down here anyway. One of his favorite themes for preaching against the new evangelical compromisers who have cursed the evangelical movement is they will run seminars on the inspiration of Scripture. They will run seminars on the inerrancy of Scripture. But when it comes to the authority of Scripture and their actual obedience to the plain commands of Scripture, then they're nowhere to be seen. There's an authoritative revelation, and here's a big one for you. It's a divinely preserved revelation. It is divinely preserved. The law was in the ark, and there it was kept. Of course, it was kept also in a much better place. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the great prototype. But even here on earth, God kept it. And he took steps to ensure that both the Old Testament and the New Testament would remain with his people despite the malignancy of Satan.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.